Was she ready? Was she filled with courage and swag and all that other confident stuff she'd been talking herself into? Of course not. Having a noble idea 3 nights ago about finishing her aunt's quilt was one thing. Actually doing it was another. Vera busied herself gathering long silver spoons. Part 1. Buried. 1968. The past is never where you think you left it. Catherine Ann Porter. The beginning. Dad said she'd gone. I didn't reckon. I reckoned she'd had enough, all right. But she couldn't be gone, gone. Mothers didn't take off. Not any of the mothers I knew. And not my mum. She was too set on yanking my hair into twisty plaits, no matter what I might or might not have done to make her go. Philly said Dad wouldn't lie. Dad hates sin more than he hates the devil. Shut your gob and go to sleep. I jammed my arms behind my head and got my eyes busy counting cobwebs on the ceiling. You couldn't keep ahead of those spiders. Philly jumped up in her flannel jammies. Even in the moonlight, I could tell Mum had ironed them. Those jammies made me bloody mad. I flung back the blankets and bolted to our chest of drawers, the chill of the floorboards nipping at my feet. The 8th of November 2019 was a pretty intense day for us. Bushfires had been raging around the town for almost 2 weeks. It was hot, dry, and windy. The fire was closer, the smoke was choking, and the sky was an eerie red colour. I stood at the end of the hallway, looking toward the open front door. An intense orange glow filled the doorway. As I watched, almost mesmerised, my daughter walked out of her room, up the hall, and stood in the doorway. The image in front of me was amazing. A large hand grabbed her by the throat, dragging her into a shadowed alley and lifting her into the air. A second later, Zinni found herself up against the wall, choking, scrambling at Bartholomew Talbot's rough fingers. She kicked out, desperate for breath, but she might as well have been fighting a rock.
"Well, well, well,"
he said in a soft voice.
"Where are you running to so fast, my wee lamb?"
Zinni went for her knife, but her vision was blurring. He saw her shaking hand coming and knocked the blade from her grip with his free hand.
"I ain't gonna kill you,"
he said, loosening his grip just enough to let her slump against the wall, gasping.
"Leastways, not yet."
Detective Geoffrey MacDonald, who had recently moved from Adelaide, was concerned and outraged and would investigate her allegations as soon as possible. Could she come into the station tomorrow? She could. And it was good. She would not think about it again until the cool change, and more importantly, until Vonnie was safely back in the city. The men were standing by the car. Two boys of no more than 20, both tall and lanky and talking quietly. Off the side was an older man who was watching Connor and Casey's approach with interest. Tall and thin, with sharp, dark features, torn black jeans, black top, and black hair long enough for a ponytail. No earrings, but the holes were there. And, really? Black nail polish. In 1991, the celebrated Madrid Protocol was signed, which classified Antarctica as a natural reserve devoted to peace and science, with signatory parties agreeing to take measures to conserve Antarctic fauna and flora, assess all activities with a view to environmental impacts, and prevent marine pollution.